I'm so grateful to be here this morning. I just realized what's the, I don't know if it's value or Facebook. I didn't know where P. Mary would get all this information. And I realized that must have been Facebook. let's just pray. Father God, we're so thankful. We're so grateful to be here this morning. Thank you that you call us your people and that we can call you our Father. Thank you, Lord, that you come and fill the atmosphere. Send your spirit of counsel and of wisdom. Come, Holy Spirit, and just open our hearts to receive from you and to feel your warm embrace. Oh, come, Jesus, come and remove all judgment, all error, and align my words with your heart. Come and speak this morning directly from your heart, Father, and use me as a vessel only. I lay down all my premeditations, all of my experiences, Father, that is not of you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you do as you will with your people. We bless your name in this place. Amen. Amen. We're going to jump right into the word. Reading from Genesis 2. From verse 18. And then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." Are you all there? If there's anybody that needs a Bible, I see the ushers are in the passage, ready to assist you. Okay, we're going. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and he closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he has taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Amen. Today's message, I just want to call it woman to woman. Now, I know that there are some, what was that? Oh, my pen. I know that there are men in the room. I know that there are single women in the room, that there are married women in the room. But I'm confident that the Holy Spirit has something for each one of us today. I'm confident that he will speak his heart and that he will touch every one of us and meet us there where we are. We're just going to relax and speak about things that matters to all of us in this life. You see, when God put a created man and he created woman out of man, he had a divine purpose at hand. He had a divine plan that he wants to achieve in this earth, and therefore he put them together. And he took wife out of man and he formed her. But he took man out of himself. Man looks to him. Man is the reflection of who he is. And woman is the reflection of who man is. This is what is written in the Bible. And we're living in a world where gender equality, where equal rights, it's right at the forefront. And it's we're becoming very sensitive to those issues because we understand that in this world, they do not want to hear about this type of order that we just referred to in the Bible. So this morning, I may step on some toes, I may stretch you a little bit, but be open and allow the Holy Spirit to minister something to you. Do not judge the word, but go back to the Holy Spirit and inquire of him and ask him, if there's more that I have not yet experienced, can you explain it to me, my counselor? So we see in Genesis 2, we see that after God created the animals, he brought the animals one by one to Adam, He even brought the wife to Adam and he said, name her, name these animals, and what you call them, they will be. So in that I see that God called Adam to give identity. And the Adam in our homes is the one who forms the identity in our children. But we live in a culture that has become so dysfunctional, where Adam no longer has that knowledge, nor does he often have that place. Because woman and us as human had become so strong in our own right, and we feel that it's our place to do some of the duties that really belongs to Adam. So I want us to just come back today to the pattern that God established. We live in a modern world, but God has established ancient paths that has a specific purpose and a specific intent for us to achieve the specific results. So sometimes, men, you're going to feel that that the word stretches you, but many a times the word is going to advocate for your place in the household. Amen. Are you still fine? It's very serious. But I want us to have fun, right? What we then also discovered, and what scientists especially is focusing on a lot in recent days, is they're looking at the differences in men and women. They're looking at the differences in how women behave and how men behave, but also how men think and how women think, how they want to be loved and how different women want to be loved. And so they've gone very far to see how we are wired in different ways so that we can receive in different ways. And it's necessary for us to understand these things so that we do not frustrate each other, so that we do not expect from each other things that are not, they are not necessary, we're not required to give to each other. We need to understand how God made a man and how God made a woman. What is the place of the man and what is the place of the woman? Yesterday we spoke a little bit about God's pattern and God's order, and this is the defining truth that we have to follow. God's order, God's pattern, not man's ways, God's ways, because that will give us the desired results. We're living in a society where women are very frustrated, but men are equally frustrated, because we do not have and we do not understand our place in culture and in society. So this morning, we're going to bring some alignment and just some knowledge and light that comes from heaven into our understanding of who we are. So how many of you know, I'm speaking to the ladies, how many of you know that our little boys like to be encouraged? They like to be affirmed. They like to be said, well done, boy. They like to show off their muscles. They like to climb. They like to be wild. They like to break things at times, right? And if we do not understand that, we sometimes would try to soften them. We want them to behave like girls sometimes, because we don't understand that that's what men do. And though he's just a little boy, but he's really a man in making. And so let's do that for our boys. Let's allow them to be little men, to stretch, to climb, to break, to be wild in a way, because that is the God forming in him. That is the man standing up in him, because he is going to be somebody's husband one day. And then that wife, she needs that kind of man. We're living in a society where men should not be too rough. They should not be too masculine, because then we feel offended and we feel intimidated. We're living in a society where men are not allowed to open doors for us. Men are not allowed to do things for us, because then it intimidates my ability. When we come back to that place where woman finds their femininity again, it's easy to be a woman. And I'm here this morning to tell you how to be a woman, woman to woman. Let's talk this morning about those things. But before we do that, I just have an article here from that I pulled off the internet from Focus on the Family. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I think it's James Dobson. The article's name is The Unique Matter of Manhood. Manhood is in crisis today, he says. The increasingly accurate term, perpetual adolescence, is not a preference to girls failing to grow up. We intuitively know, oh my mouth, I'm going to speak slower. We intuitively know it refers to 20 and 30-something men. Men are falling behind women in college enrollment and graduation. They're increasingly unemployed, and traditionally male-dominated industries are disappearing. They are more likely to be homeless and to use and abuse almost all types of illicit drugs and alcohol. 99% of all prison inmates are male, as well as 98% of death row inmates. Men are not doing well. In many ways, they are becoming the weaker sex. Much of this has to do with the nature of manhood itself, and it is rooted in a seemingly strange truth, but one that is essential for us to understand. It's this: in terms of human development, healthy masculinity is not natural. Maleness just happens. Maleness just happens. But manhood, it does not. And there's great difference between the two. The first one is a biological event. The second is a developed character quality. Manhood must be constructed, and when it doesn't, it fails to develop. And therefore, many men remain male adolescents, often found in the form of a dude living in his parents' basement. This is not the case with womanhood. Woman, their biological makeup ensures the girl will more naturally grow into a healthy woman. And as her body matures internally and externally, it sends her and those around her an unmistakably message of what she is and what she is becoming. It moves her in a very particular direction with great force. Her family and her community also treat her differently because of that. But the boy's transition into manhood is not similarly predetermined. It must be created with significant intentionality. In other words, manhood is behavior that must be taught, an identity that must be bestowed by a boy's family and the larger community of men, his parents, extended family, and surrounded community. And then I just want to skip a little bit and just focus on the qualities that he says a manhood looks like. And this would help a little bit on the ladies, the single ladies as well. When we look at men in around us, and when somebody approaches us, we don't often know what to look for and what would constitute the characteristics of a godly man. Many times we look at men and they are 40 and 50 years old, but they really behave like little boys. And we cannot figure that out, but why is he just like a little boy? It is because of this element that was never formed in him, becoming a man. This is manhood. And it's something that we intentionally has to put inside of him, but also it is something that a father brings to him. That is something that a father will develop and nurture into our little boys. And that is why it's so important for us as mothers to know as well. Because men are rough sometimes. Men discipline our children in different ways. And our boy child is disciplined in a different way. And we want to protect them. We want to nurture them because that's who we are. But if we have understanding that God's order gave two of us for a specific reason. One to nurture, one to feed, one to wipe, one to clean, and one to discipline, one to form the character of God in our children. And if we understand that as wives and as mothers, it's easy for us to allow Father, of course, within the confinements of the law and of the Word of God. You understand that we're on the same page, right? That they be a little bit rough. Let them wrestle a little bit with the boys, because it develops the manhood of a man into a little boy. He says the qualities of manhood is when someone is described as not a man, we unmistakably know two things about this person. That he is a male, yes, but he is probably coming short of the basic qualities of masculinity. Manhood is not so much anatomy and age as it is a particular type of character. If we do not all have a general idea that manhood is definite and distinct, the statement, he is not a man, would have little meaning. But it has immediate meaning, and we take it as a strong rebuke upon the person. To be genuine, these qualities marking manhood should apply generally to men across diverse cultures, not just our own. This reveals what God has placed in humanity and what he has made the man to be, not just what any particular culture expects. But as we seek to bring young men into healthy and authentic manhood, we must ask, what are we shooting for? And what does this look like when it is done successfully? This question can be more complex than many assume. I'm going to skip a whole lot of all of that stuff. But men should be courageous. A godly man is a courageous man. He does not shrink away from a challenge. He gets up and he goes after it. And ladies, when you go out with that guy, watch him carefully that you see the courageous element in him. What happens when somebody steps on your toe, when he's right next to you? Does he show a little bit of annoyance because that person didn't respect the woman who is next to me? If he does not move, something inside of you should move. Yeah? A man steps up. That is his first reaction. He steps up. He moves. He wants to be the one. He wants to go and do something. When there's something needs to be done, he goes. When he sees that something is happening and nobody is moving, he's the one who naturally would want to jump up if manhood was developed in him. If not, there is something that is missing. If a man wants to protect and a man wants to provide, a man has learned how and is willing to provide and care for a woman and their children. He doesn't skip on this duty. That's what a man does, because that's what God said to a man. God told Adam, work the land, cultivate the land. That is what a man does. And he has a natural inclination. And even when a man is unemployed, or even when a man doesn't see all the business coming in as he wishes it would, you will see that desire is still in him. He still wants to do something. He gets annoyed and frustrated because nothing is happening. I need something for my hands to do. And those are the qualities that we're looking and searching after in a man to understand whether this will be the man for me, whether he will be able to stand in the position of a godly man for me. Is this the man for me? So throughout this, I want ladies to really ask this question to yourself, single ladies. Is this the man for me? The one I'm with currently, does he do these things? Is there something that we're still going to have to work through? Or is he ready to step into his godly position? And men, don't feel judged in this morning. If there are some places where you have to cross because you don't feel that you're measuring up to it, just know you are in a safe place. You are in the body and the household of God, and this is where we nurture what has not yet been developed. So there is somebody in this house who has already have a developed manhood, who is ready. They are mature men. They are all on a men's retreat this weekend, but when they back, they will be even more mature. They will even have more to share with you. So if you don't have everything that is mentioned in this article, don't feel judged. You're at the right place. So yeah, there's a whole lot more in it, of which is respect, protection, loyalty, tenacity, boldness. Men were not wired to be passive. But sometimes our fathers were not in the place to teach us the qualities of manhood, the qualities of strength and masculinity. And the mother had to do that. And mothers do not have the wiring or the nature to do that. Mothers do not know how to go in and take. That is what fathers teach. Mothers do not know how to conquer, because that's not what God's original plan was. Mothers, they nurture. Mothers feed. And if we in a place where we feel that our husbands and our fathers do not measure up to this, we're getting to that. We're getting to, later we're going to speak about what it is that I can do in my place as a woman to help my husband, to help the father of this household to get into his position. Amen? All right, we're doing well. So we're going over to the woman. So men, you can breathe out now. Exhale. We're moving over to the woman. Now that's, we just looked at how men are. Men are strong. Men are conquering. Men have a frame of doing things that are a little bit more heavier, a little bit more difficult to do. But women are soft. Women are gentle. Women are feminine. Women smell nice. Yes, women smell nice. A woman... often many of us can, why I say women smell nice, many of us can, when we think of our mothers, there's a particular smell that comes through, because that's what a woman represents. She has a fragrance of God that she releases. And we use the perfume and the of this world to enhance that fragrance of God to come out of us. Men love that. They love when a woman smells nice. And this will help you, young ladies. This will help you, married women, too. That when you walk into the room, that he knows there's a woman in this room. Many of times we struggle as women to find our place in the world where we're living in because we have entered the corporate world and we have to take up our place. And we struggle to know how to be a woman, but yet be a manager and a leader at the same time. We struggle to find that godly central point of being who we are, who we were created to be, but at the same time, stand our place. And the world has informed us that it is difficult. We need to fight hard. We need to play the game of the men so that we can go where they're going. The world had taught us that we better be strong because there is no place. This is a man's world, right? But we better come back to the word. We better come back and see how this gentle and this femininity would be overcomer and conqueror in the corporate world without force, without might, without power, but really in love. We really have to come to that central point of understanding who we are. And I know that men are intimidating and overwhelming and feeling sometimes that they have to protect their space. That is who they are. But as a woman, I have to discover who I am first. That's the first thing I do, is to discover who is the Christ in me. What has he made me to be? I have to look in the Father's eyes and ask, Lord, who am I? Lord, who do you say I am? What do you call me? What is your name for me? What is your purpose that you want to bring into this earth and into this world through me? Why would I be here? Because you see, many of us, I was born, for instance, to a single mother, and I never knew my father. So you can imagine what kind of void I had, how inferior I was, how quiet I was. I had no identity formed in me because there was no Adam to do that in me. I had some form of personality, but it was nothing like the character of God that I discovered many years later. What I realized is that the fact that the enemy managed to take my father out of his position, he knew what God's plan on my life and in this earth through this life was going to be. So he had to do that at birth. He had to remove the father figure out of my life so that he could try and manipulate my positioning so that I wouldn't know who I was. And through that, there's a chance that I may not arrive at the place where God wanted me to go. But he did not know that Jesus already came and overcame and defeated his plans. And so when I found Jesus and I started asking him, who am I? He started speaking his truths in me. He started leading me into forgiving this very father who wasn't there. This father to whom I locked every door of my heart. This father who still informed my behavior and my actions when it came to my husband. I still, when I looked at my husband, subconsciously I thought of my father. I was so angry. I was so mad at Will. He could not dare do anything, and I was ready to. I could not say anything out in the world. Oh, no, I could not stand my place in the world. But when Will speaks, oh, I was ready to tell him. I knew how to tell him, you found me big. You're going to tell me nothing. I was ready to tell him. And then God came, and he said to me, you better forgive your father, because it's that very thing that causes unforgiveness in your heart towards your husband. I said, God, my father has no place in my life. I don't even know his name. Why would it bother me? He said, no, you have to forgive your father because you see, Will stepped right into that position and that place that holds the key to your father's heart, the key to where you locked that emotion that goes to your father. You locked it up when you were little, and Will stepped into that place. And from that position, you engage with your husband. I said, oh God, I better change. I better forgive this man. I don't even have his name. but I'm going to forgive him. Will you help me? And I forgave him. And you know what's the testimony that I have out of that is that before that time, if ever will, I was angry with him and I could get real angry. I knew how to be passive angry. You know, when you just have tight lips, fold your arms, and your shoulders get really strong. And Will knew, he used to say, I'm like a TV. The channel is good, but there's no sound. Because I would go quiet for days on end, and there's just no way that he would get through to me because I was so angry. And sometimes I would drive from work, and I'd think that, but I'm no longer angry with him. I am fine now. This issue is settled. But when I see him, it's like the curtains just close up on me. All this emotion would just come up, and I couldn't understand that. But after forgiving my father, immediately, instantaneously, I noticed that suddenly I was not as angry. It first started to slow down to 3 days, to 1 day, until now it's okay. It's just a normal situation of conflict, and we deal with the situation as it comes. And that is the value that a father has in a woman and in a boy's life. We do not understand it because the world does not teach us this. But this is the pattern that God had created and determined before the foundation of the earth. So, woman, find your place in the Lord. Find your identity in the Lord. It is necessary because it holds the key to our relationship with your future man and with your current husband. I love being a woman. How many of you love being a woman? You like it, right? Oh, God help the rest. Bernice, God help the rest of us. I love being a woman because I love the love that woman has, that women have to give out. I love the fact that when I was just looking at the woman here in this room this morning, how much love is flowing out of them. I love the fact that sisters can come together and they can laugh really loud. I love the fact that the sisters can come together and they can shed a tear for sweet little nothings. And Will sometimes doesn't understand why I would cry for things that is just normal to them. Or it would sometimes be somebody else's story and I would still laugh. We were at a concert last week and they were speaking in Cantonese, but they shared a testimony and this testimony was in Cantonese and there was no translator. So I didn't understand what they were sharing, but I cried away. And he said, but how do you cry? Did you understand? I said, I understood everything. I know that woman's heart. I know what she said. And that is really who we are. We have so much emotion and the world teaches us that that's no good. We must hide that emotion. We must keep it away. But our children need that. Another woman needs to see that I have this kind of vulnerability so that she feels okay to share her vulnerability. Sometimes our men need to know that we are vulnerable and we're not all strong because they want to be strong. And no man wants to be in a space where there's a competition. Am I right, gentlemen? You don't want to be in a place where you have to compete for your space. They have enough of that out in the world. They have enough of that in the team that they play. They don't need anybody to say to them, oh, what did you do? Why did you do that? Oh, why did you do that with the children? Why did you not put on, like I said? They don't need that. They need, oh, thank you. That was so nice. I didn't think of that. I would never have thought that that would turn out so nice. They want to hear that. They need a little bit of encouragement. And we became so angry. We became so ready. We become so judgmental. We really picked up the rod of God to stand behind our husbands. No, it's true. Societies became so dysfunctional that women feel that I am the frequency and the heartbeat of this house. And I determine whether we smile or whether we laugh. And I will be the one who say what happens to the children. Women don't know that God said, it is the man who brings the identity. It is the man that determines the child's characteristics. It's even in girl children, men still bring the identity to our girl child. Men still gives them the courage that they are beautiful and confident. Many of us can say how many struggles we had to find our own beauty because our fathers, even though they were there, they were cold towards our beauty. They were cold towards telling us that you look beautiful. Even if your hair was standing up, he would still say, girl, you look pretty. Because he knows how much it means to our girls. So many of us went through that. And therefore, we do not understand that really if we ought to grow up in homes that are functioning according to God's original plan, there would be a whole different outcome. So we have so much fear that this would not turn out right. We have so much fear that this may, the same things that happened to me would happen to my children, that we feel we have to protect and defend that. We forget that we chose this man to be the father for our children. We chose this man to be my husband, my protector, my covering, my Adam. I like my Adam, by the way. I have a strong Adam. I have a very strong Adam. I have an Adam who protects. I have an Adam who, when my children think of somebody doing something to them, I try to say to them, tell if anybody does anything to you, tell them, if you touch me, my mama will touch you. But no, my children know that their father will go out. If anyone says anything about them, that their father will go out. So ladies, when you choose somebody who's not afraid. Choose somebody who is ready to protect and to stand up for your household. I know when Will is at home, nobody is going to come and do anything to this house because my husband will go out whether he has anything to fight with or nothing. But he will go out and I'll be inside the house. Oh God, please protect him. Oh God, he's out there. Oh God, you better send your angels because this man ain't listening. I said to him, don't go out, Will, but he would still go out because that's his heart. He protects. That's what he does. He believes that his responsibility is to stand up for his family. And when he does that, I would be praying around that house, inside the house. He says, lock the house. He will go outside and he says, lock the house, Marilyn. And I'm like, oh God, oh God, you go. God, you be there. God, you send your angels. I'm all over the place because this man is out there and I have to cover him inside. You get that? He's out there conquering, doing what he has to do. But I'm inside, cover his behind. I'm inside, making sure that he is not by himself, but he has protection there where he's going. So that's my Adam. Choose and make sure your Adam has some of those qualities. As women, we do not always understand that we have such great influence. And those are the qualities that I'm mentioning, Connie, for us to know that when we go out in the workplace, these are the very same qualities that we're going to implement in the workplace. We're going to use the influence that Adam, that I saw in Adam, that Adam cultivated in me, and I'm taking that to the workplace. I don't have to go fight out there because I have already practiced and exercised and discovered a kind of influence in the house that is godly that now will work on the outside in the world because it has been practiced in my secret place. We have influence with our husband that doesn't require hard and harsh words. You see, what I used to do with my husband was I would know that something really hard has to be under. We need to have a conversation about something really hard. And I know this man would probably not like this. And I would be so worried because, you know, when I'm full, I need it to get out. I need to say it to feel better. And I would be so worried. And God taught me that I first have to fight my battles inside in the secret room. I first have to arrange an appointment through heaven to my husband. I don't speak to him about the appointment first. I speak to heaven first. I start sharing my story with God first and ask him, God, you know that this is the thing that's on my heart. And you know this is an issue that really bothers me and I need to discuss with this man. But you know him, Lord. You know he's not going to move on this one. So I need you to show me what is your will on this situation. I want to ask that you make an appointment with Will. I prayed for Will for many years. Will was not always saved when I met him. He was very unsaved. But he knew God, in a way, you know. And I was not as godly either. I did not have all the understanding I should have. And when I met him, he was an Anglican, and I was not an Anglican. And I knew I did not like being an Anglican. But I knew that there's an order in God, and that is to submit to your husband. And I went, his mother said, and he said, and my mother said that this is what you should do. You join your husband's church. And I thought, God, what am I going to do about this? And I started asking God to give me the courage to do what he asked of me to do in faith. I said, God, but when I go in here, can you help me to always find something inside this Anglican church that would encourage and reform in me your will, that will show me who you are? And God did that in his faithfulness. And that is the thing about being submissive in God's presence, is I submitted just in faith. I submitted to him. And 10 years passed, and we were still Anglicans. But a lot happened during that time. It wasn't all in vain. A lot happened. In fact, we grew spiritually very strong in that very same Anglican church. But the time came when we became so hungry and thirsty for more. We knew, yes, this is a good place. Yes, there's God is here. There is a lot happening here, but we need a little bit more. And we were not going to be fed where we were. And I could also not ask him, because he was born Anglican and he only wanted to be Anglican. But I wanted us to move on to another place where God has prepared for us. And I started speaking to God about this thing. I said, God, I need to have this conversation with Will, and I don't know how we can have this conversation because I already know what the answer is to this question. Can you help me? And I just prayed and prayed. I asked God to show me when the time would come. When would be the right moment to speak to God? And when the day came, I immediately recognized it as the moment that God appointed. And when I spoke to Will during that conversation, he immediately said, I don't know if this is the right thing. I don't know if this is what we need to do. I don't even know what we should do. But I'm willing to go. So we got the immediate results that I needed for that time. And since then, the rest is history, what happened after. But that is what happens when we address our issues through heaven first. When we exercise our influence through heaven first, we don't just go in and take, because that's not who we were made to be. God made us out of Adam. And so we have to respect and honor Adam, because that is what he functions on. He needs that more than life itself. Am I right? Men need respect, right? Men want respect. Men want to be respected. They want to be honored. They want to feel encouraged by the woman that they're with. They don't want to feel judged and that they are in a competition. They don't want to feel that they have to work hard to earn that respect. But women need to be loved. That's what woman was made to be. And that's why God took her from underneath Adam's arm, because that's the place where she finds a warm embrace. That's why God took her from that place, and where Adam has to always cover and protect him. That's what she needs. And sometimes there's so much disturbance in the house that this brings frustration and a shaking that causes an imbalance on exactly what we need. And instead of giving each other what we know we need, we're fighting and attack that very same thing. We're still talking woman to woman. When I was a young bride, I made the decision that if anybody dishonors my husband, it will be because I dishonor him. If anyone is to honor my husband, it is because of my way of honoring him in front of people. And I'm sharing out of my life because I want to make it real. I want you to remember not theory. I want you to remember practical things, that when the opportunity comes up, that you remember a story and that encourage you to do the same, because you know that there is evidence of this, that it has worked and it has happened before. You know somebody who has done this and for whom it has worked. And that's why I share from my own life and from my own experiences. So when I was a young bride, I then realized that if I share his shortcomings and his difficulties with people outside of the home, when I go around and criticize him because I'm so hurt, because I'm in so much pain, I want to speak about my pain, because that's what we do, because we are women. We want to share our pain. We want to share our our story. And so we would want to go around and say to people, you know what he did? You know what time he came home? He again wasn't there. You know, I asked him to take the children to school, and you know what? The teacher called me and he wasn't there. Can you believe he could do such a thing? That's what we want to do because we are women. But you know what happens is other people do not love him in the way I love him. Other people are not as forgiving towards him as I am. So long after I have forgotten about his mistakes, what he didn't do yesterday, long after I have decided to forgive him, other people have not yet forgiven him. Other people are still angry with him. I was with my friends. I realized that with my friends, I would be angry at their husbands and boyfriends because how can you be with him? He did that to you last week. Have you forgotten already? So I knew that I can't share this with my friends and with people what Will has done because they would be angry with him and they would not be as willing to forgive him. So I better speak to the Lord about who he is and what he is doing. I better speak to my father. I didn't have an earthly father, but I have a heavenly father who loved me more than anything. So I started speaking to him about my issues and what Will has done or has not done. But when Will and I went outside, I say to people, look at that man over there. Isn't he gorgeous? Oh, he's so handsome. And they would be like, it's your man. He says, no, look at him. That's my Adam. Do you see him? He's handsome. He's strong. Did you see his eyes? Did you see the way he speaks? I wanted them to see him the way that I see him. I wanted to see them to see him in love the way I see him. I wanted them to honor him. Because if they can honor him, it can encourage him. It can build him up. And it can encourage him to be even more than what he was able to do. Even more than what he feels inside of him, what he can be. I want to encourage you to encourage these men. They need us. Adam needs Eve. Adam needs Eve to be right there. Adam needs Eve to say, you are doing fine. Adam needs Eve to say, I respect you. I trust you. I love you. I know you can do this. Because you know, when Adam leaves the house in the morning, he goes into a scary world, a frightening world where everybody's ready to attack him. He goes into a world where everybody's ready to tell him how he does not match up and how he doesn't measure up. So he needs to have a safe place. And the Bible tells us that when man leaves his house, his mother and his father, he goes and he finds a woman and he cleaves to the woman. So he cannot go back to his mother and father. He does not have a mother and father to encourage him or to give him a safe place. No, he created a place where he should feel safe and where he should feel loved. And many a times we create so much animosity in that space, so much hurt and hate in that place where he doesn't feel safe. And you see, God, when he created Adam, he created him from the soil. And when the curse came, he said, and you will work hard. You will, from this day onwards, you will work hard. And from the brow, the sweat of your brow, you will earn your living. So Adam has a hard thing to do in life. Adam needs some compassion. Can somebody show some love to Adam at some place, at some space of the day? Can somebody feel a little bit of a compassion that this man has a lot to deal with? He has a lot of things that he has to achieve. Adam has so much that he has to measure up to. Can somebody be his cheer lady in this house? Do we have some cheer ladies, some cheerleaders ready to cheer our Adams on in this house this morning? Amen. I know that when we look at the examples or the prescripts of the Bible, we sometimes see scriptures like Proverbs 31 that just, do you know Proverbs 31? We're not going to read through it, but I see that face. Proverbs 31 can really be a scary place. It can really be so overwhelming. And I looked at this the first time and I thought, oh, I would never, never be able to measure up to this. But at the same time, I also don't even have this time to be this kind of woman. So I'm just going to be doing what I know how to do. I'm just going to do take away food and all kinds of other things. I can't do this. This is a hard thing. I don't even know how to sew, so how am I going to start there? So I just moved on being a happy married wife. And then God came and God started speaking of ancient paths and ways of being, and he took me back to Proverbs 31. And by then, I have built up some courage that, you know, I can cook something and it won't burn, and I have done a few things in life that encourage me that maybe I can go back to this, maybe I can give it another try. And so when I looked again at Proverbs 31, I saw that after all that miracle working power that she has, this lady, there is a last verse that says, but the woman who honors the Lord, the woman who prays, a woman of virtue will be praised. I said, God, I can be this woman. How do I do this one? Maybe you can teach me this last one, and who knows, maybe the rest will come into place. And God started showing me how, what an important place we can take up, how we can achieve all of those miracle working things of having children who are clothed and warm and their fabrics are of purple and silk, and how we can achieve all this, how we can make it happen, how our husband can become honored in the marketplace, and all these wonderful things if we come into worship and praise and finding him as our God and our Father. And I learned to really encourage and influence and built my house in prayer. A spirit of worship and a spirit of intercession came over me that always drew me in to a place of praying for my husband. So when I felt that somebody said something that is not in line with what God said about us, I ran into my inner secret place and I spoke to God about it. When my husband would share his plans for the following day that he has to go out and do, and how he doesn't know how to do it, I would run into my secret place and tell God that my husband doesn't know how to do this. When the children are small and you don't always know what to do, and you don't always know how it's going to happen because there is no directory or manual that comes with your children, they just have to become adult people, and I have to do that, I ran into my secret place and said, God, you better give me the blueprint of these children because I don't know how to do this. Lord, there are so many voices. There are so many things that people say I should do. I don't know what to do. I need you. Can you tell us what to do with these children? Can you tell us how to overcome? Can you tell us how to fight the good fight? Can you tell us how to build this marriage up to be a godly place? Because we don't even always understand each other. We don't even always know whether we say the right things to each other. I found my place in the Lord, the secret place where he shares his heart and his secrets first. And that is how I now see that I have become a woman of virtue. I discovered that my children are well fed, my children are well clothed, my children have everything that they need. My boy turned 16 this week, and it was wonderful for me to see how well, we have done as parents, and it wasn't because of our own doing. It wasn't because we knew how to do it, but because God gave us every day a secret thing that he wanted in his heart to do for his children. God showed us every day what is the next thing to do for and to say to our children so that they can become what God wanted them to do. My husband is honored in the world. He's honored wherever he goes. Because I spend lots of time in my secret place to encourage him. I spent a lot of time in the secret place to pray for him and to ask God to build him up. There's a book that I employed as my helper. I employed a book as the helper's helper. This book's name is The Power of a Praying Woman by Stormy Martian. And many women have that book, but not many have achieved the power of what is in that book. I found that book to have so many things in it that I didn't know even exist. I didn't know how many things there are that I should pray for this husband. So I employed it as my helper, and I kept it with me for 19 years in December. We will be married 19 years in December, and I have used that book
for as many years. I've used it and I'm still using it today because many a days I don't know what's the issue with the man. I don't know what he's doing and why he's doing what he's doing. And I'll be like, God, show me in this book. Where is he? Let me find this devil and cast him out of this house. And I will find that devil in Stormia Martian's book. And we cast him out and we send him away. And we say, this house is under new management. You will no longer rule here. This man is a man of God and he will do the things that God tells him to do. Amen. Yeah, what else is there that we could share? So I would really like to just call you into a place of rest, a place of finding Father's heart, a place of less frustration. There is so much anxiety in this world. There is so much tension. There is so much burden on us. And we as women have taken up the identity of Adam in many ways because that's what the world taught us we should be. So we became frustrated inside of us because on our outside we are doing things that we're not supposed to be doing. We have been fighting to be finding our place. We have been fighting to be acknowledged for who we are, thinking that this is what we should do, thinking that this would complete everything. But inside of us is where God has given us our strength. Inside of us is where he placed our power. It's from this inside position that we ought to live our lives and take up our space as women. And so I want to encourage you to, as the days, in the days going forward ahead, as you not only look for your man, waiting for your man, or whether it be being a wife in your house, that you will search after a quiet and a gentle spirit. Because that will settle all the anxiety. That will settle all the fear. That will settle all the strife and the fighting and the wanting to make it happen. Wanting him and the children to become what expectation says they should be. A quiet and gentle spirit will settle and quiet your mouth when he's doing something that you don't like. A quiet and gentle spirit establish an inner strength that allow you to walk out of your house and into your workplace and just be a woman. Just be the soft and the gentle spirit that God made you to be. And still say what you need to say, but with that gentle and soft spirit that influences how they behave. It is with that soft and gentle spirit that we come into the workplace and we are able to serve those very people who are out to break us down. We are able to serve them in so much love because that is who we are. We are nurturers. And you see, when we do all the things from the position of who we are, the whole of creation comes into alignment because they recognize that really deep in their creation, they recognize that a God has risen up. They recognize that there is an original intent that is standing in front of them. When we see God in our secret place and we bring him into our workplace or into our home or into wherever we go, we really bring the fragrance and the love and the characteristics of who God is. We bring that into the world and everybody recognizes that and they yield to that and they want to be loving. They want to be in a response to that which God is. So you find favor when you express a gentle and quiet spirit. You find love. You find protection. You find courage. You find boldness. You find that when somebody shows you kindness, you don't feel the need to resist, but you know how to embrace kindness. You know how to embrace love because you understand love. You have love and you are love. Thank you very much this morning. You were great. You were wonderful. And I really pray that from this day onward, that your mind will be changed, that there will be a renewal of the mind, and that you will search God and see the position that you are and that your husband are in a whole different way. Be beautiful, woman. Amen. I will end.
Can I ask the worship team to come up? And it's okay. I'll just. As she was preaching, as Marilyn was preaching, I really felt and sensed that God is really speaking to us about a quiet place, right? I feel like this has been coming up in message after message after message the last month or so, maybe just for me, but I really feel God wants us to find a secret place, right? That secret place is where all our power comes from, because that's where God is going to be found. And so, you know, as she was preaching, I just got this picture of the temple, right? In the temple, there was that purple curtain, and only one person can come past that purple curtain, right? And if they weren't holy, if they weren't pure, they'd be struck down dead, and they'd have the string on them, and they'd have to be pulled out. You know, but when Jesus died, that curtain was torn in half, and that presence of God was open to all of us freely. And so I think this is one of the reasons we've been encouraging people to come up to the altar, is as a representation, it's that step forward that I'm coming to you, God. Yes, God comes to you, but he also wants you to come to him. So I'm just going to invite you guys to come forward and just enter God's presence and find that secret place where all of us, men and women, will find our power in God. And so as the worship team sings over us, just come into that presence of God. Rise to our feet and just rise to our feet and really just talk to God. If you've been struggling in your identity, actually, I feel like there's someone in this room, it's been on my heart for a little bit, that God is saying, I'm here. And you've been questioning if you're real. And God says, I'm real. And I feel like maybe someone this morning was like asking God, are you real? Are you really God? Do you really exist? And God is saying, I exist. And you are my son. You are my daughter. You are my child. And if you ask, forgiveness will be given to you and you will be restored to me. So if this is you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But you can come up afterwards and I'll pray for you. But this is just, I can't get over it. I really feel like someone, God is saying to one of you in this room right now, come to me right now and I've got you. So I'm just going to pray over that. And then if we can go into a time of singing, praising God. So Father God, I just pray that the person in this room who's been questioning if you are who you are, if you are truly God, if you truly exist, that God, you will just meet them in their place right now. God, that you will just meet them in their heart right now, God, and that your spirit will just pour down on them. God, that the doubt, the questions they have, they can still have questions, but that they will not doubt that who you are is who you are. God, and that you are a good father, and that you loved us and you sent your son to die for us, and that we are who we are because of you, and that you created us to have our root identity in you. So Father God, I just pray for this person or these people, God, that you will just touch their heart today, that their heart will be open to you, God, and that they will receive the truth that is you. So if we can just lift our hands in praise to God and just sing this one more time. Father, we just thank you for who you are and that you are good. God, we thank you that we can come together to worship you, God. That when we come together, we know that you are here. And as we walk out, God, we know that you will walk with us and before us. So Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you that we can come and know our identity belongs to you, God, and that our identity is formed by you and created by you, God, and that beauty and strength and power comes out from our strength in you. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace, his shalom, from this day forward and forevermore. In the name of the Father, we pray. Amen.